Welcome to the CrossAxe Method. This is Rob Noy, and I created this podcast to help the members of CrossFit CrossAxe better understand the principles behind CrossFit and how we implement those principles into our training and life every single day. Whether you train with us in the box or at home in your garage, I look forward to helping you get the most from your training and nutrition. We'll keep it fun and lighthearted while giving you the best professional advice for success both in and out of the gym.
Righto, we're back with CrossAxe Method episode number 8. Myself and Jen are here again. How are you, Jen?
Good, Rob. How you doing?
Excellent, excellent. Now we've finally got started. how's your week been, Jen?
Yeah, it's been an awesome week. Going really well.
Excellent.
Yeah, good to be back here again.
You're working on a bit of a back injury at the moment. How's
that? I am. It's been challenging. I've learned a lot about ego.
Yes.
And all of the things that I have spoken to people about in injury management and rehab in my corporate career are definitely coming into play.
Excellent. So a few mental challenges there? Like,
yes,
as in
quite a few.
Need to practice what I'm preaching?
Yes. You know, the biggest thing is that you think that you have to push hard all of the time.
Yep.
And the reality is that your body can't push hard all of the time and that you need to give it some opportunity for recovery.
Yep.
And even when your ego is telling you that you still have to go harder, that sometimes you need to, your body's giving you cues when you need to just
slow down
a bit. Yeah.
Have a rest day.
And focus on those things like mobility. And I do that a lot, but really focus on the mind-to-muscle connection and listen to what your body's doing.
And where do you think the, this is not even the topic for the day, but where do you think the drive for that comes from? So, you know, like this need to, not so much where that drive comes from, but I guess like the mental side of like...
On myself.
On yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have really high expectations.
Yes.
And I don't want to just do what I do well. I expect myself to exceed that.
Yep.
And sometimes doing it well is still incredible. Like you just...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Give yourself a break.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Cool. All right.
What about yourself?
Big week. Big week as always. I have been looking to make some changes with my working life. So I'm stepping back with the fire service back to part-time. I got approved for that earlier in the week, which is amazing.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
Yep. Thank you. Little sort of, I won't say scary, but it's a bit of a change after 16 years.
Yes.
So going back to doing one day shift, one night shift a week, and it was quite interesting. I had this moment with one of my mates at work that I was on shift with, and he's, because you're like a family, right? It's you work together, you eat together, you know, you do everything together for 40 hours a week. And then when you change that, it's kind of like, oh, you know, it's like you're leaving the family sort of deal. So one of my good friends was saying, like, why are you changing it? And I said, well, come and have a look at my roster and I'll show you. So, and I hadn't even done this myself before. I just knew I needed to make a change.
Yeah.
And then I counted up my hours. I showed him the hours I was going to be doing.
Yeah.
Once I start the new roster, and he's like, "Oh man, you got some pretty big days in there still, you know." And I'm like, "Yeah." I said, and then I skipped back to this month, and I said, "But this is what I'm doing now."
Yeah.
And I counted the hours for the last month. And my weeks were ranging from the smallest at 65 hours for the week up to 85 hours for the week.
Yeah.
And that wasn't, that was including only on shift stuff. So whether I was on shift at the gym or whether I was on shift at the fire service, not emails and
all the life
programming
stuff
or,
in the background.
Yeah, anything else. So yeah, I'm dropping back to just over 50 hours a week, which is, you know, potentially 30 hours difference for me. I'll get every weekend off now, which is
awesome.
Which is great. You know, I'll be in the gym, of course, but I won't be working on shift. Whereas at the moment, I kind of get one full weekend off every sort of 6 weeks.
Yeah.
So a weekend where I'm not either working, you know, Friday night or starting Sunday night. Or, you know, of course, as I'm working right across the weekend. So, yeah, so that's what's happening in my world. I'm going to be in
that's
the gym
awesome.
A little bit more and hopefully be at home with my family a little bit more.
I love that.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, I really had to, it's easy for me to work in terms of my personality, right? It's like, if and you can make yourself as busy as you want and use that as an excuse, but if I want to really address some, you know, am I being, you know, the best husband, dad, insert whatever I want here, I really need to take a look at, you know, stop leaning on work as an excuse to...
You and I have been talking a lot about the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, and there's a part, there's some parts in there about what, I can't quite remember exact words, but, you know, being work-centric or family-centric or finance-centric, and I'm a bit the same, I'm work-centric. And it's easy to keep the work going. Like, just you just become consumed by what you're doing and how much more you can keep doing.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you justify it to yourself because it's work.
Yeah.
Well, I'm doing something for my family because I'm trying to bring in more income or, you know, trying to create some financial stability or, you know, whatever excuse you want to give yourself. So, yeah, anyway, yeah, I'm excited for that.
Awesome.
And, yeah, it'll give me an opportunity to see everyone a bit more in the gym. So it's cool. Yeah, and hopefully give me some more time on the weekends that I can spend with friends and socialise, and which doesn't really happen at the moment. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Work-life integration. I don't know, this balance, is it? Balance integration? Yeah, one of the two.
Cool. So today, Jen, we're going to talk a little bit about relationships and communication and how to, I guess, you know, work on that and build those things. Now, before we get started, I need to say all the stuff I'm talking about today is a work in progress for me as well. Definitely no expert on this. Now, the reason why I feel like we need to talk about it is because it's a big part of health. So there's a number of factors that are critical for life. And if we look at the base life essentials, you know, food, water, shelter, community or being involved in a tribe, for want of a better term, is a huge part of whether you are going to live longer and happier or not. So with all the studies that have been done in the blue zone, so a blue zone is where, you know, parts of the world where people are living longer, the most number of centenarians or, you know, the people getting over 100. And studies have shown that the number one factor for longevity is not, you know, nutrition, it's not, you know, how you exercise, it's how many, or not how many, sorry, it's definitely not how many, it is the quality of your relationships.
Yes.
So having deep and meaningful relationships is more important for your health in terms of a correlate for longevity than is a number of other factors.
Yeah.
So... So to ignore it and not talk about it is, you know, I think we're not, we're missing a part of the picture.
Mm.
So that's, I guess, why we're talking about it.
Mm.
And, you know, I'm definitely not an expert in the matter at all. Mm. And as I said, I'm, you know, definitely working on all these things myself. But the reason we'll talk about it is the things we talk about today I've had tremendous success with in implementing and working on in my personal life and at the gym. So,
Awesome.
Cool. So we'll go through a few points and,
Excellent. I guess, like, one of the ways I think we could start off with is, you know, it's fairly obvious in relationships with family and friends how... the importance of relationships comes in, but you touched on how it also impacts our health. When we relate it back to the gym, I think relationships has got a lot to do with playing its part in culture as well.
Yep.
So how do you see, or what are some of the, I guess the key, or some of the important factors about relationships and maintaining relationships in the gym? And I know that's fairly broad.
Yes. That's kind of what we're gonna, the whole hour is going to be about, or however long we're here.
But, I mean, let's look at ways that we bring it back into the gym.
Okay.
So maybe let's just start off with when someone new starts.
Yeah.
And we invite them into.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, great. So with the gym, these things are going to be common to not only the relationships in the gym, but to everyone.
Yes.
So if we look at a new person starting from scratch about, and they totally new, they're not coming in as a friend of someone, they've just Googled CrossFit and they live down the road, so they've come in, done an introduction session, and they're starting. Making that person feel part of the tribe or the gym is really important. So this is, you know, you've seen it. The majority, if not all of the members, have seen it. When a new person comes into the class, there's a number of actions we take as coaches to try and help them fit in. One is introduce them to everyone straight away. Hey, guys, this is Dave. It's his first session. You know, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Make sure you meet him. You know, at the end of the session, we'll say, hey, Dave, who here, you know, introduced himself to you?
Yeah.
And it'll be, it was such and such and such and such. Cool. And then hopefully, you know, during that session, Dave's got into some conversations with some people and you know, met some people and starts to feel a little bit comfortable, like, oh, maybe I belong here, because there's, you know, as we know, there's a lot of anxiety and stuff around coming into a CrossFit gym, especially one that looks like ours when you walk down into it. So having that support there and having people provide a friendly face and a friendly atmosphere, and then the, you know, having Dave go through the workout and feel like I actually do fit in here. I belong here. It's not just elite athletes. It's not just guys running around with six packs or, you know, girls, you know, running around
beast
doing
mode.
Muscle
yeah.
ups, and,
yeah.
you know. So that's really important. If we as coaches are doing our job really well, we will pair up that athlete with someone of similar age, which may also even have similar, at least one similar interest.
Yeah.
All right. So Dave is a plumber and he's in training at the 5:15 a.m. session. Then I'll say, hey, I'll grab someone like Dean and say, hey, Dean, this is Dave.
Yeah. Dean
and Dave. So, hey, Dean, this is Dave. Dave's a plumber. He's got his own business as well. You know, do you want to just give him a hand when he's looking for gear or something to help him out? And then that straight away is going to make, you know, Dave feel much more comfortable being there. And, oh, there's someone else like me. And whether that's, you know, a mum, whether that's a younger athlete, whether that's an older athlete, you know, just trying to make people feel comfortable. And there are other people like you here, and you belong as part of this group of people.
Mm.
Yeah. So that's the new athlete one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Cool. Yeah.
Obviously then when we have, you know, when you become more of an established athlete, and that can be anywhere from, you know, 3 to 12 months, because people, you know, they settle in at different paces to other, like to each other.
Yep.
And we start to get to know each other, we start to get to know personal details about each other, and you start to probably divulge information that you might not have, you know, Dean and Dave certainly aren't going to talk about personal stuff right off the bat in the first time that they've met each other.
Yep.
And with that comes elements like trust and honesty. So, you know, what are some important factors that you see there in managing that information, and then how you, I guess, nurture that relationship when people do start to open up?
Right, another big one. Okay, so
I'm such a girl. Like, I asked.
Yeah, there's, no, that's a good like. All right, so so we're speaking about trust, and we mentioned honesty, and
okay, let's start with trust, because you know you have to establish trust.
Yeah, so trust is the baseline of most, if not all, relationships.
Yeah.
Okay, if you don't trust someone, one, you're not going to share any personal information with them, or you shouldn't. Two, you don't feel like you can rely on that person. Mm. So you're not really going to take that relationship any further forward.
Yeah.
And if you do, it's probably not a great relationship. Like, if you can't trust the person you're talking to, then, you know, where does that go?
Yeah.
You know, like, it's pretty fruitless. So, So building trust is is critical, right? Yeah. How do we do that? We do that in a number of ways. Firstly, we're true to our word and we meet our obligations. So, say for example, you know, Jen, I go, hey, you know, I'm working on my swimming, Jen. And you're like, cool, and you've been a great friend, and you said, okay, let's go to the squad training tomorrow morning at 5:15.
Yep.
I'll pick you up on the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks, Jen. Cool. Or not even that. I'll just meet you there.
Yep.
All right, I'll meet you at the pool. Excellent. I get to the pool, 10 past 5, quarter past 5, you're still not there. I'm like, what, you know, where's Jen? She's, and you've just slept in because you couldn't be bothered.
Yeah.
Right. So you don't show up. So that obviously is breaking down trust, right? So then next time you say to me, hey, Jen, hey, Rob, sorry, I couldn't make it in this morning. I had a big night. I was up with the kids or whatever. Okay, cool. I might give you some leeway if we've got a good history.
Yeah.
If you're a new friend, then I'm going, I can't trust this person. And then you say, right, how about we reschedule for Thursday? Yep, sure. I'm happy to give you another chance. No problem. And then Thursday comes, and then I'm at the pool going, I'm not sure if Jen's going to show up or not. And if you don't show up, then it's all but over, that relationship essentially, in terms of, you know, you're still going to probably be nice acquaintances, but you're not going to rely on that person when the shit hits the fan at home, and, you know, you're not going to be the first on their list to call when you've got a problem with the kids and you need to go out and you need someone to look after the kids for 5 minutes and, you just can't rely on them. Now, let's flip that and you say, I say, hey, Jen, I'm working on my swimming. And you say, hey, why don't we go to squad together tomorrow?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I don't really like squad, but yeah, okay, I need to work on it. Great. And not only that, you swing by early and you pick me up and take me to squad. And then you're there early. And then the next time you do it, I'm like, oh, I really struggled waking up. Next time you do it, you've made me a coffee, you pick me up, and you take me to the pool. Now, that is really building trust.
Yeah.
You know, so that's a building trust with people, being honest to your word is really important.
Yeah.
Now, there's another thing that will really break down trust and destroy it. And it's another topic, I guess, that we'll dive into right now as well.
Yeah.
And that's gossiping.
Yeah.
Right. So
I think that's where I was going with the honesty part and the
I'm just scribbling out stuff I wanted to speak about. So with gossiping, you're not breaking down the relationship with the person you might speak about.
Mm.
Or you are speaking about. So say, for example, you're in the gym, you're hanging out, and you're chatting with your new buddy that's just come into the gym, or you've been friends for a little while, and, you know, you start talking poorly, or you might not even think you're talking poorly, but you're talking about someone else.
Yeah.
Did you see that this person is now dating such and such?
Yeah.
Did you see that last week on this workout, this person got this time? I'm not really sure that time's accurate.
Yeah.
You know, just these little things where you're commenting on someone else without them being there. And basically gossiping is what we all know it as. And we all do it. It's part of our DNA, essentially. And I'm not saying that in a lighthearted manner.
Yeah.
You know, gossiping was important when you were in a small tribe and you needed to know who was sleeping with who so that alpha male didn't kill this alpha male and, whatever. So
I was thinking very Game of Thrones then.
So Game of Thrones, right?
For Vikings.
So survival mode, it does have its place. But in saying that, it's sort of lost its value in our current life, right? Now, what you're, like, say that we're having that conversation, you're not breaking down, the other person is not the one you're hurting. Mm. The person you're talking about is not the person you're destroying the relationship of.
Yeah.
what you are actually saying to the person that you are talking to is, I can't be trusted. As soon as you leave, I'm going to talk about you.
Yes.
Behind your back.
Yeah.
Because that's the kind of person I am. I talk about people.
Yeah.
No matter who they are.
Yeah.
And for me, that's why, like, for a lot, I've always hated gossip. Hated it. And I really found myself separating myself from people that did gossip. And yeah. But I never knew why.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is you can't trust those people.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be around someone I can't trust.
Yeah.
You get that feeling of walking on eggshells. You know, I can't be myself with this person. Yeah. I can't...
That's where when you want things that are personal, private and confidential to remain that way, you know you can't have those conversations. Or you're doubtful about having a conversation because those things won't remain personal, private and confidential.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, and then when we... When we take that a step further, instead of not only do you not gossip, but you are then the person that, in someone else's absence, defends them.
Yeah.
Then that's going one further. That's even better.
Yeah.
So if it's like, hey, you say, what about such and such didn't get such a good time on that workout last week, and you go, oh look, you know, they're not here.
Yeah.
They might have had a really bad day. I know they're a nurse. She might have been working all night.
Yeah.
So let's not judge her on that. Yeah. You know, I think she's doing really well.
There's stuff that goes on in people's lives that for the hour, and this is kind of like social media and Facebook too. Like you get a pinhole of insight into someone, and then there's like still out of, you know, 100% of the day, there's 1% in the gym, 99% everywhere else. So it's like the rest of the time, the 23 hours a day that you don't know what's going on.
That's right.
And you can't assume to know.
So that leads us to another point, which we'll come back to, but, you know, another one is never judge or criticise.
Yeah.
So, but just to finish up sort of on the gossip thing, like if someone's... Here's how I approach it with the coaches, right?
Yeah.
So we treat it like... My advice to them is we want to create an atmosphere like a doctor's surgery or a doctor's, GP practice. If I ring up and try and get information about my wife, they won't give it to me.
Yeah.
It's private and confidential. So we act the same way with our information with all of our members. So I've had ladies in the gym tell me, hey, I'm pregnant, right? And that's great. We need to know when you're training. And a lot of the time it's before the 12 weeks, it's before they're happy to tell anyone, which is great. You need to tell us because there are modifications that we need to make to your training. Now, I'll inform the other coaches of that.
Yeah.
And if you do speak with any of our coaches, you know, they will inform me of it. And, but that's as far as it goes.
Yeah.
That's it. So, you know, all of the friends and members we have, you know, like someone will say, you know, tell me they're pregnant, we'll address it accordingly for the gym, and then, you know, 12 week mark comes and they'll announce it and they'll be talking to Alex and they'll go, oh yeah, you know, like I'm pregnant, and she go, oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, I told Rob. And I'm like, she's like, yeah, I understand, but he doesn't tell me that stuff.
Yeah.
Because there's no benefit to me. There's no benefit to that person in me telling Alex that. Just spreading information that doesn't need to be spread at the moment. And it's not my right to divulge that information. You know, it's telling someone you're pregnant is quite an exciting thing. So, one, I'm robbing them of the trust experience that they gave me. Two, I'm taking away that experience that they can share something really positive with someone else. So, and we do that with everything. So, when people come and talk to us, they can know that 100% the information they give us is confidential.
Mm.
Yeah. And that's important to building that trust. If we don't have that trust, then the next person that gets pregnant and we've blurted out the person before was pregnant in the middle of the class and told all these people that have really no right to know yet, then they're not going to tell us.
Yeah.
And then that leads them also into a dangerous situation of we're not addressing any concerns of them being pregnant while they're training.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a huge flow-on effect to gossip in general.
Yeah.
It's more often than not very negative.
Yeah.
And we can use it as an opportunity to say, right, you know, let, you know, if you're in that conversation, one, defend the person that isn't there, mm-hmm. or two, just say, hey, you know what, like, I really don't talk about other people unless they're there.
Mm.
The only time you should talk about someone, if they're not in the room with you, is with glowing praise,
mm.
okay? So if you're just 100% praising that person in a positive light, wow, did you see such and such did X amount of muscle-ups on that workout, it was amazing, I'm so happy for him or her. That's fine.
Yeah.
The other time, I guess, talking about someone when they're not there is when you have deep concerns for that yeah. person's health and you're trying to help figure out with another friend, mutual friend, yeah. that they can both trust, how to help them.
Yes.
And that would be the only time.
Yeah.
You know, the family, the person's going through some sort of personal family issue that they've spoken about with both of you, or, you know, something where you're like, how can we get this person, they're suffering depression, or, mm. you know, one of those things where you're really trying to help someone. Other than that, yeah. there's no need to talk about other yeah. people. Yeah.
Agree.
Yeah.
Completely agree.
Cool. So we touched on a couple of things there. One was never judge or criticise, and you mentioned about, you know, you don't know what that person's day has been like.
Yeah.
And this is something I'm working on. You know, I was a young man once, and, you know, I'd write people off for sure, like,
yeah.
stop being, you know, you're in traffic, you're a dickhead, you know, like,
yeah.
you cut me off, whatever. And there's a story, again, off the Seven Habits of Highly Effective People that Stephen Covey talks about, mm. and it is, he's on a train one day going home from work. He's had a pretty busy day, jumps on the train, and all he wants to do is just relax on his commute home.
Yes.
And there's three kids on the train just running amok, swinging on the handles, yelling and screaming and carrying on, and their dad is sitting there doing absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Right? Not controlling the kids, just, yeah. you know, just totally out of it. And, you know, his reaction is, geez, look after your bloody kids, you know, like, take control of your kids. And this story's from a while ago, so it's yeah. not anything... Yeah, yeah. you know,
new
in, you know, where you could give the kids an iPad or anything. It's before yeah. those times. So it's an old story. But, you know, the guy's oblivious to what's going on.
Mm.
And essentially he ends up saying to him, hey, you know, your kids are being quite distractive. Mm. You know, can you, you know, I think he was polite about it. Can you rein them in? And the guy's looked up as though he's just snapped out of a totally other planet, yeah, and he said, my goodness, I'm so sorry, I didn't realize my kids were behaving that way. Their mother just died, we just got on the
yeah.
train from the hospital, and I just don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And so, you know, in one minute you're sitting there judging this guy as you're an asshole, you're not looking after your kids, this is
yeah
you know, sort your shit out. And then when you really know the circumstances behind why he's like that,
yeah,
it is 100% the other way. And that's, oh my God, what can I do to help? Can I help you? You know, like,
yeah.
it's... So you never really know what's going on.
Yeah.
And being critical and judging people without, you know,
knowing
context
yeah.
is unfair. So we yeah. try, you know, we try not to do it.
We had that conversation recently at home after Deacon going off a little track here.
But, that's right.
Deacon was telling me about one of the teachers at school, and his perception of this particular teacher is that they're always grumpy and they're like a substitute teacher.
Yep.
Now, having worked for Queensland Ed, I kind of know what teachers, the kind of pressure that they're under. So I did yep. say to him, you know, mate, have a think about all of the classes that she might actually have to cover. And she gets thrown in the deep end. She's got to run in, do a lesson, and possibly on a subject that's not a favourite. I said, how do you think she, you know, she might be feeling? Oh, she could be feeling stressed. I'm like, well, what does mum do when she's feeling stressed? She gets really angry.
yeah.
Not the best behaviour. But I'm like, you know, you're seeing things from one perspective of that time that she's standing in front of you in your class for however long the class goes for.
Yep.
Not to justify her or excuse her behaviour, but you probably need to have a little more tolerance to what's happening in the bigger picture for that particular person.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so we're, you know, trying to have those conversations
yeah,
as well.
Because we see the lens we see the world through the lens of me,
yeah.
I. How's this affecting me?
Yeah.
I feel like this teacher is, you know...
Picking on me. Yeah.
She doesn't care about
she's
you.
She's always grumpy.
Well, she might care about you, but she's got other things happening. Yeah, yeah, you're exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah, perfect example. That's really good. Cool. So another one, you know, a general rule I try and use is never gossip, never complain, and never one-up.
Yeah.
So there's a difference between complaining and giving feedback, right? So if we're just continually complaining about something, you know, what have we done to fix the problem? Have you contributed to it in any way? Again, we need to look at it through the lens of, you know, is there anything I can do to make this situation better?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, an example might be you could go to a restaurant and you could have, you know, say you have some sort of chicken dish for dinner, you bite into the center of it and it's still cold, and you could go, oh shit, this is terrible.
Yeah.
Like, my God, this is disgusting.
Yeah.
You can just not eat it, go away from that restaurant, tell all your mates it's shit, and don't ever go there, it's rubbish.
Yeah.
Right? That's one action you can take. And that essentially is complaining.
Yeah.
You're just complaining about something that you did absolutely nothing to try and fix or rectify. On the other side of the coin, you could go to the manager or the person that's in charge or your waiter and say, hey, look, my chicken that I just had was still a bit cold and frozen in the middle.
Yeah.
And then that gives them an opportunity to, do something about it.
Yeah.
And then they can then decide their own fate from there.
Yeah.
So if it's like, you know, the manager might be like, oh my goodness, I just put a new chef on and we have this process where we thaw out chicken for the next day on the top shelf.
Yeah.
And then we use the one for that day on the bottom shelf, and then that night we change it over. You know, I've never been in a kitchen, I don't know, making this up. But let's say that's the thing, right? So then, you know, the new chef has started using chicken from the top shelf, thinking it's completely thawed for long enough.
Yeah.
And then they can change it. The manager can go in and speak to the chef and change it, and then, you know, they'll refund your meal and probably give you another meal and a free bottle of wine, or, they can choose how they respond to that. If they choose to respond negatively, then you can give feedback to your friends and say, hey, look, this is what happened. They didn't respond very well to it. I probably wouldn't go there if you're going out for dinner.
Yeah.
Fine. You can make that recommendation. But if they fix it and fix
and
the issue...
Everything else in that experience was positive.
Yeah, and then you're like, well, actually, the wait service was really good.
Yeah.
And the atmosphere was amazing. And, you know, now you've contributed to making that place better, because that same issue isn't going to help... isn't going to happen with someone else. Mm-hmm. So... you know, giving honest feedback is critical. Complaining is useless. All you're doing is drawing attention to a negative aspect of something that is going to either bring the conversation down, bring other people down, or, you know, again, it's bringing you down.
Yeah.
Because if you're complaining, and especially if you're complaining about a person, again, you're telling people that you're with, you can't be trusted.
Yeah.
Because you're the person that gossips.
I look at feedback as two ways. And the first one is like a massive fan of the shit sandwich.
Yeah.
Where you give positive feedback. In the middle, you give what needs to be worked on a little more.
Yeah.
And then you finish it with positive feedback.
Absolutely.
The other thing that I like is if you see that someone's got a weakness or there's something that they need feedback on and constructive feedback, I look at it. And I do this whether this is in managing teams or coaching CrossFit, coaching my own business or my family. It's like, what can I do to help that person lift?
Yeah.
Like, is there something, and it might not necessarily be something that I can do, but can I refer them to someone, or can I buddy them up with someone in the gym that I know is an early bird and that will text that person to say, you know,
you're coming today.
Out of bed, we're going to the gym. So I look at it two ways. Like, how can I give feedback and be constructive and positive in that experience?
Yes.
And rather than just saying you shit.
Yeah. So, again, that kind of comes from Dale Carnegie's,
I can't remember the book.
How to Win Friends and Influence People. Yeah, really old book, but great. And it's the proof is out there now that people respond to positive feedback far better than negative feedback.
Yeah.
Negative feedback doesn't get results.
No,
positive feedback
feel,
does. It just makes you feel shit.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, the example, I try and refer most of my examples to the fire service because people listening to this from the gym will go, shit, was that me?
Yeah.
You know, like, no, it's not you. Yeah. It's a general example, right?
Yeah.
So let's say I have a new firefighter come into to our station. They've just done their recruit course and we do some training with them.
Yeah.
And, we're taking a coiled hose line up some stairs. And you work in teams of two and, okay, right, I'll work with this probie and we'll run up the stairs. And, let's say he flips the hose the wrong way, makes a mess of it and just balls us up, right? And then if I dress him down for that, like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, that was ridiculous. You should know better. You've just come off recruit course.
Yeah.
How come you can't get it right? You know, like you have a senior firefighter that's well entrenched with this group of people that's on shift giving you a hard time about something you're probably already a bit nervous about because you just started with this new group of people.
Yeah.
And righto, we're going to do it again until you get it right,
Yeah.
He's going to mess it up the next time for sure.
Yeah.
And the next time. And the next time if I keep giving that feedback as opposed to, I go down and go, what was the reasons behind the decisions you made to put it this way?
Mm.
And then try and help him see why it's better to do it the other way.
Yeah.
Right? Let's run it again. And this time when we do it, just flip it over the other way.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
And, he's going to then get some confidence from that because he's going to get it right. He's going to not feel like he's under pressure, or he or she, I should say. And then, we get a job in the middle of the night. I know I can trust him to get it right. He's going to feel more positive about doing it when we're actually, doing it for real. And that positive feedback is far better than if he got it wrong, we wrapped it up, and then, that night we get a call and we go into a job where we have to take that action. He's going to be even more nervous and not perform. And so, positive reinforcement is huge.
I think, jump around here, but before you get to that point where you're able to give people feedback, because I'm not going to come in, I've never met you before, or I'm not going to come in cold and say, hey, Rob, I think this is the way you need to do things.
Yes,
I think you really suck at that. No, I'd never tell you you suck.
fine if I do, tell me,
But, I think that there's like some groundwork that you have to do before you get to that point with a person able to give, you're working on trust. You're at the point where you want to be honest with someone, you're going to give feedback, but there's that emotional piggy bank.
That
was one of the first things, and I've read that. I think that's in the same book, isn't it?
Seven Habits of Highly Effective.
Emotional
Bank,
And you and I spoke about that when I first started coaching at CrossX. So do you want to explain that, what that means?
Yeah, so the emotional bank account, that's a good lead-in. So the emotional bank account is building... You've got to make deposits before you make withdrawals, right?
Yep.
So let's go back to the example I used before, and let's actually say that it is me and you.
Yeah.
And I say, hey, Jen, I'm working on my swimming, and you say, cool, I'll come and meet you at the pool at 5:15.
Yeah.
Sweet. If I get to the pool and you're not there, because of our history, I'm like, shit, something must be wrong with Jen for her not to be here. And even if you did, for some reason, sleep through your alarm, I'm going to give you a lot of leeway there. I'll probably give you a hard time just joking around. But I'll give you a lot of leeway in terms of our relationship because we've had this emotional bank account built up. We've input to that relationship far more than we've taken from it. Now, when we're inputting into the emotional bank account or into the relationship, it's doing things like being there on time, being positive, supporting that person, building trust,
I think the big thing too, I don't know, this seems really common sense, but if you're asking someone how their day is or how they're going, actually wait
listen.
To hear and a response and listen.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah. That kind of dovetails into another point. We'll try and we'll go back a bit. So you know, withdrawals from the emotional bank account is things like not showing up on time, speaking about someone behind their back.
Yeah.
You know, any sort of negative thing where you're just not, you're not listening is a withdrawal.
Yeah.
So say you come into the gym and we're having a conversation and I'm on my phone.
Yeah.
And I've got, and I'm looking at my phone screen and you're talking to me, but I'm playing on my phone at the same time and I'm pretending to listen, but I'm not. That's a massive withdrawal.
Yeah.
You know, you're out to dinner and you've got your phone sitting on the table.
Yeah.
Withdrawal.
Yeah.
You know? So all of those things, all those things,
the phone over there.
Even, you know, all of those things seem little.
Yeah, they're massive. But when they're added up.
They're really big, you know. So so that's the emotional bank account. You know, if you, you know, imagine the trust or the deposits you're making if, say, a friend's leaving your house. They've come around for dinner and they've got to drive half an hour to get home. I'm like, how long is it going to take you to get home, Jen? You're like, oh, I should be home in half an hour or so. And you, just as you walk in the door, you get a text message or your phone rings and just says, oh, hey, just checking in to make sure you got home all right.
Yeah.
Little things like that, man, that's a massive deposit in that emotional bank account.
And then it makes those situations, like you said, like not showing up to gym or to the pool, obviously something must have gone wrong.
That's right.
But then if you need to have the difficult conversations around giving some feedback, not that feedback should be a difficult conversation, but if it makes some of those conversations easier to have because you've established that rapport and that piggy bank.
The trust,
and you take, you know, I don't see taking a withdrawal as a negative thing, but in terms of that relationship, then it, you've got that foundation there to be able to do that.
Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, if you're giving honest feedback, what I like to call it is kind honesty.
Yeah.
So I'm always going to tell you what is going to make you better, if we're in the gym sense, right? So if it's in, if I believe that I can provide you with feedback that is going to make you better, and you know, we can frame it however we want, we can, you know, make it a shit sandwich, we can, you know, give you something great, then tell you what to work on, then give you something great, and that's just all in communication and delivery, but we need, you know, we need, as coaches, we need to be the people that are going to give you the often hard truths about what's happening, and help you to recognize those. And that's, and what I mean by that is, I'm not talking about your, you know, personal life or character any of that. I'm talking about how you squat.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like you're repeating a movement with poor mechanics. Unless we fix that, you're going to be limited in how far you can go with your squat, your clean, your thruster, your snatch, right? So that's our job, to give you, you know, kind, honest feedback about that.
Yeah.
Now, we also need, as a gym and a business, honest feedback as well.
Yeah.
And so we can have, you know, and we've acted on it. We've had feedback about, hey, you know what, like, I really don't appreciate having babies out on the floor in the gym. And we've rectified that. You know, like, hey, guys, we can't have an infant out near flying barbells. It's just not okay for a huge number of reasons.
Yeah.
The other one we've had is, hey, you know what, I come to gym at 9:15 a.m. to get a bit of a release. It's for me. It's my hour. My kids are at school. I don't want to hear other kids bellowing and screaming for an hour.
Yeah.
Right? And so we've addressed that. And so now, and this was pretty recent, it's like, hey, guys, you know, my message to the coaches is, if there is a kid yelling and screaming that's being distractive and it's making it hard for you to coach, then it is definitely affecting the people in the class and they don't want to hear that. So what we need to do is politely stop the class, ask whoever's the responsible parent to go over and address that kid's concerns before rejoining the class, so that enables everyone else a positive experience for that day.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of feedback we can act on. Another one we had, I had even more recently is, you know, Rob, it sucks that we don't have any female coaches at the moment. And I'm like, yeah, like it's hard, you know. Like if we look across the board at CrossFit and we look at the percentage of males versus females that do CrossFit, the percentage of males versus females that coach CrossFit, it initially has drawn a lot of males into the sport. It was like it sucked us in, you know. And so there's not as many female coaches and there's not as many good female coaches.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's part of it. Cool. I understand that connection. But I dug a bit further and said, like, what is it about
having a
female coach that makes you feel comfortable, that you really like? Oh, well, you know, Jen used to get it. She's had kids. So what she would do is in the mum's class, she would give us an extra 2 minutes to duck off to the toilet before we had to do box jumps and double unders.
Yeah.
And I'm like, cool. Like, I understand that women that have given birth have pelvic floor challenges, right?
Yeah.
So, but that's such a simple fix for us.
Yeah.
That's not a female coach.
Yeah.
That is a very simple fix. So from now on, it's like, hey, let's reserve 2 to 3 minutes before we start each workout at whatever time for mums to duck off and go to the toilet if they need to be. That's a really simple fix. Yeah. So that's...
And the good thing about like stuff like that, it doesn't even need to be done in a way that's like mum's got to go to the toilet. It's like,
all right,
guys, yeah, anyone need to go to the toilet? Like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And all it is us getting making a few adjustments to maybe the brief, maybe the warm-up, maybe it's very simple to find 2 minutes in the hour, all right? You know, so that's great feedback we can get and we can handle. A complaint would be you don't have any female coaches.
Yeah.
So, okay, well, what do we do with that?
Like,
you know, we can try and get a female coach, which we do, but maybe maybe it's also, okay, so at what expense do you want us to have a female coach? Do you want me to sack Maddie and bring a female coach on full time? Oh, no, don't do that. Of course not.
Yeah.
You know, so there are limited things that we can do, but we will always try and act on feedback. So we'll try and dig down to what is the actual issue and let's rectify it. So if you do have feedback, let us know for sure because we want to act on it.
So how would you like people to give you feedback, as in like in what format? What are the options for people?
Yeah, so you can email me directly. You can speak with me. You can text message me. You can message me on Facebook. You can... you can hit the loudspeaker on Modify up in the top right corner. There's a loudspeaker where you can just give...
I thought you meant like, you need a loudspeaker.
No, you just yell it at me.
Hey, Rob.
Hey. No.
It's like, gee, you're like, wow.
Yeah, so there's on Modify, on the app, there's a little loudspeaker up in the top right corner, which is made for feedback.
Yeah.
Now, I can't do anything with complaints.
Yeah.
You know, like, unless it's something I need to act on.
Yeah.
In terms of the business itself or the staff or, you know, I can act on, hey Rob, every Monday morning when I come in, I notice the toilets are filthy.
Yeah.
And I can, I can act on that. I can speak to the other businesses in the other tenancies and say, hey, we left this spotless Saturday afternoon. Come in Monday morning, it's dirty. Mm. Can we fix that?
Yeah.
And that's simple.
I think... Like, that's a really good point too, because there's stuff that is within the scope of things that you can change and influence and manage as a gym owner and as, you know, Rob, the owner of CrossFit.
Yep.
But then there's some things that, like, you as a coach and the owner of CrossFit CrossX, that you don't have any scope of influence or change for things that happen outside of the gym as well.
Yeah, that's a really good point. We've had, you know, people in the past come and speak to me about relationships or issues outside of the gym, and I've simply had to say I can't. There's nothing I can do about that. It's not.
Yeah.
There's this. It's. I don't want to say it's funny because it's serious, but it's quite funny. Like where, you know, we're professionals in movement and health and you know, providing coaching and trying to make people better.
Yeah.
Where, even this podcast, like, you know, where's the responsibility lie? Are we crossing the line with people, giving people advice on character building.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. So that, you know, that's quite kind of a fine line. I can give you as much advice as I can personally in terms of this stuff, and this is this helps me to learn as well by speaking about it and trying to grow it and reinforce it in my life. If you think it's a load of shit, cool. Like that's your opinion to make, and that's absolutely fine. If we're in the gym and I say, hey, your squat looks like this. This is how we want it to look. And you choose to ignore me there, then I have a professional responsibility to say, look, you are risking your health if you keep doing what you're doing this way.
Yeah.
You could hurt yourself.
Yeah.
Whereas I really believe with this stuff, this is what I want to encourage, this way of thinking, because it creates culture, it creates a better community, it creates trust with our members, it creates a really positive environment. But if you don't dig it and you're not down with it and you disagree, that's okay. That's your opinion as well. So, you know, it's a bit of a fine line with where I can...
Yeah.
Where,
but in terms of,
you know...
Like, if there's things that you're able to improve in the world, delivery, the coach's attitude, the gym in general and the facilities, by all means, like, yeah. And if something, if the situation between athletes has arisen that's made someone feel uncomfortable and they would like some support to resolve it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But when it comes to things outside of the gym, like it starts to veer into the outside of your professional scope, and then it comes into that bag of like gossiping and stuff, because then you're coming into a space that's about people's personal relationships outside of the gym.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's where
that's where I draw a line.
We draw a line there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, we can control the environment in the gym.
Yeah.
And that is, hey, like if you love gossiping, I know some people do, right? Yeah. It's fine. If you love it, I don't know. That's a personal choice of yours.
Yeah.
Just don't
knock yourselves out.
Just don't do it in the gym.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and also understand what you're doing when you're doing it.
And know that even if you aren't doing it in the gym, you're doing it outside of the gym. It has a flow on effect to impact the relationships, the culture, and the atmosphere in the gym when
that
stuff
right.
rolls into the gym.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's. The other thing is, if you're listening to this and you're like, shit.
We've gone.
I didn't realise what I was doing.
Yeah.
That's okay. I've had these moments myself.
Same.
You know, like, I'm like, when I've learnt this information, I've gone, wow, I have been a real dick sometimes. You know, and we all have.
Yeah.
And this comes back to also never judge or criticise. If you're judging someone, are you so high and mighty that you've never made the mistake that that person is making?
Yeah.
Of course not. We've all made mistakes. Don't be a dick. Like, you know, have some understanding. So, if you find yourself thinking while listening to this, shit, I may have really degraded some relationships that I've been in because of how I've acted, that's okay. We don't dislike you. You know, it's like,
not at all.
A learning process of, shit, now I'm aware of it. I'm going to try and catch myself doing it.
Yeah.
And I catch myself in these different areas of
all the time.
Character flaws all the time. And I'm like, shit, what am I doing? Stop. You know, like I'm just being negative Nancy here.
Yeah.
Snap out of it, you know. So you're going to have, as I said at the start, it's an
evolving work in process.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we should all be always trying to better ourselves in terms of our character.
Yeah.
I believe. And you know, and yeah, that's it. So
what about, like, with feedback and those sorts of things, what about talking about things from a point of empathy? So aiming for empathy and not sympathy. How do you see that those two are distinguished from each other?
Yep. Okay, so empathy and sympathy. So sympathy is feeling bad for someone.
Yeah.
And it often gets held as being pretty virtuous and a good trait. That person's very sympathetic. Whereas it's kind of not that virtuous. It is, I feel sorry for you, but I'm going on my way.
Yeah.
You know? So to try and relate it to, let's say, the fire service again, my job there. Right, so something terrible happens, someone takes a fall into a lift shaft.
Yeah.
Right? And you walk out of the other lift and you look down and this person's, you know, got a broken back and they're all messed up, and you're like, phew, shit, I really feel sorry for that person.
Yep.
That's sympathy, right?
Yep. Sorry, I thought you were going to say feel sorry for that person. See you, man. I'm going to go.
Yeah, well, yeah. Like, I mean, you know, oh, we've made, oh, you know, I've done what I can.
Yeah.
See you later.
Gonna leave
you know,
there.
And you really just don't think about it for the rest of the day. Or you do and you think, shit, I'm glad that wasn't me. That's sympathy. Empathy is, and, you know, say we come along then to help get this guy out.
Yep.
Empathy is then climbing down into the hole with that person, which may even be risking your life.
Yeah.
In the extreme cases.
Yeah.
Climbing down in there, supporting them, fixing, helping them, and getting out of there with them.
Yeah.
That's empathy.
Yeah.
So
it's such a powerful and strong thing to offer someone. Like, it's such a influential thing to offer someone.
Yeah, it's very selfless.
Yeah.
So if I can, I'll try and relate it to the gym. Let's say that, you know, everyone's doing 19.5 on Saturday morning. And I've injured my elbow and it's got thrusters and pull-ups in it. And I can't do it. I'm shattered.
Yeah.
And you're my friend and I'm like, look, I want to come in and train. I'm not going to because I can't do it. I've done really well on all the other workouts, but I'm injured my elbow and I'm really down about it, you know. So I'm, you know, I don't know. And you say, well, you know what? Like, I was going to train Sunday morning, but that's okay. What I'm going to do, how about we go for a ride?
Yeah.
I know you can cycle. I'll borrow someone's bike and we'll go for a cycle together. And it's like, well, don't you want to do it? Yeah, but I can do it Monday.
Yeah.
You know, that's empathy. Sympathy is, shit, I'm sorry to hear you hurt your elbow. You could come.
Can you hold my towel?
Can you come and judge me? You know, I'm going to the gym anyway. I can't do coffee on Saturday because I'm going to do the workout.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, hopefully that answered the question between those two.
Yeah, I think so. Empathy for me, like, it's a way you can not reach down, but take someone out of a situation that sucks and help lift them up. And, you know, kind of pep them up and set them on their way, but also be there along the way to
support.
Help guide them.
Yeah, for sure.
Not guide them, but support them, yeah.
Yeah, and sympathy?
Yeah. Sympathy, kindness as well, you know, that does suck and
I'm sorry.
Too bad.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sorry, but it's not me. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, not sorry. Hashtag
Excellent.
Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Is there, you know, we touch on most of the things we wanted to sort of speak about.
I one of the things, I know we keep coming back to the book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, but one of the things that, you know, I'm happy to own and say, you know, I haven't been great with is in there they talk about the difference between dependent, interdependent and independent.
Excellent.
And I think that contributes a lot to relationships and a lot of these things.
Yep.
So I'm very independent. You know, the things in my life have led me to be independent.
Yep.
However, sometimes what that means is that I'm not very interdependent.
Excellent. And so what would you explain interdependent as?
Oh, an example.
you don't need an example, even
so
if you just...
Interdependent is more... So independent is I.
Yep.
Interdependent is we.
Excellent.
So let's look at it in a scope of marriage.
Yep.
So in marriage, like, you don't say I, it's we.
Yep.
Because you're a team, like you're a unit.
Yep.
Whereas independent, if you say I all the time, then, you know, you're not really thinking about each other as a partnership.
Yep.
Then the dependent, so dependent can be a more negative kind of state in that you're more reliant on everybody else. It's more about I can't survive without leaning on other people all of the time.
Yeah. Basically. So I feel like dependent is where, again, we're looking to externalize.
Yes.
Everything else is driving me.
Yes.
I am not responsible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So if we were talking about being responsible, I am responsible for everything.
Yep.
Interdependent is we are responsible.
Yes.
And dependent is everyone else is responsible externally.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, and we've had it in the gym. It's this program doesn't work for me.
Yes.
This nutrition plan doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
It's the plan's fault. It's the gym's fault. It's the programming.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
everything but me.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're independent,
independent,
it's what can I do to get better results?
Yeah.
You know, because I guarantee you, 100%, if you're not achieving your goals with CrossFit or eat meat, veg, nuts, seeds, some fruit, little starch, no sugar.
Yeah.
Now, assuming that's not like a sport-specific goal, I want to run a marathon a certain amount of time. Yeah. CrossFit and the nutrition plan didn't make me run my marathon faster.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I get it. Yeah. Like, or, you know, I've got a boxing match coming up.
Yeah.
You know, and CrossFit didn't teach me how to throw a left hook. Of course it didn't.
Yeah.
But if it's a general physical fitness or general physical preparedness goal that you have, you want to get leaner, stronger and healthier.
Yes.
And you apply CrossFit and meat, veg, some fruit, a little starch, no sugar, paleo kind of eating clean, whatever you want to call it, and it's not working, then you're not doing it right. It is not the program.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that is, yes, we're all unique snowflakes and varying things, you know, affect people slightly differently.
Yeah.
But hundreds of thousands, possibly millions of people cannot get the same result doing the same thing if it's not effective.
That's right.
And if you're not seeing results, try and look at what you can do to change it.
Yeah.
Am I attending the gym enough? Am I being honest with myself in terms of what I'm eating? You know, all of those things.
Do I need support?
What can I do?
Yeah.
Do I need to ask for help?
Yeah.
All. What can I do?
Yeah.
Not, it's someone else's fault. Because so that will get, you know, if you say, well, I got a bad score on the open because of the programming.
Yeah.
Well, did you really?
Yeah.
Or were you not applying yourself? Or maybe you got the best score you could.
Yeah.
No matter what the program was.
Yeah.
You know. Jumping to another program is just delaying the same result.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you see that then being, so that's I, how do you see that then being interdependent in the gym? Because the interdependent and independent, like I see interdependent as something really positive.
Yes.
It's the tribe, like it's how you...
How we move.
Yeah.
Yeah, so interdependence in the gym is having those positive relationships. And so interdependence is, you know, well, let's switch back to independent, which is good. I need to get better.
Yep.
I need to work on my thrusters and my rowing, or I need to work on my war balls and my rowing.
Yeah.
I know I'm probably not likely to do that on my own because it sucks and I really want to do it. Interdependence, again, is having a friend there to say, hey, I really need to work on my rowing, and that friend going, cool, I'll do it with you. Mm. And then the power of having we makes us much more likely to achieve the goal for I.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's funny, as you're talking, like, comp prep, it's, like, it's awesome, and I'm learning so much about the body and how I respond to certain things and types of training, recovering from injury. One of the things that I have missed, like, I can't even put into words how much I've missed, is that this process, and you actually warned me of this, it's such a isolated type of fitness.
Yeah.
And there have been times when I've been sitting on the bike or doing my program back in the back corner, and I watch the gym from a distance because I haven't participated in sessions now for quite a while.
Yeah.
And that interdependent, that like the relationships and the culture and something and everything, it's, you know, I don't have that in the process of what I'm doing at the moment for comp prep.
Yeah.
And that interdependence within the gym, like it's awesome to be part of that.
Oh, that's why it's a big part of what CrossFit is successful. It's because it's part of that health.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think in a way to wrap all of it up, like you talked about it being, it's like relationships is a big part of health, and it's like one of the base things in life in terms of the gym and the life of the gym, like, and how we succeed and move forward as athletes and members. It's absolutely crucial.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, you can't do anything better for your training and, say, training intensity than to train with someone else that is at the same level and you're competitive with. That will drive intensity through the roof, and both of your results will get better.
Yeah.
It's hard because it's a constant battle every day, and you know you're going to go there, but, you know, that those relationships are critical to moving forward. You know, like when we look at the need of being part of the tribe, if you get kicked out of a tribe, you can die. You know, like not now because you're just going to find another tribe.
Blue zones and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, but 100%. Back in the day, you're in a tribe of hunter gatherers living off of the land. If you get exiled from the tribe, you will not survive. You will die. And it's solid.
I don't run very fast. Well, I wouldn't be able to even catch my meat.
It's solitary confinement.
Yeah,
right? That's why that works. You put someone in a hole with no light, no contact with other people. Yeah. You're on your own. You can't go in there for too long without going crazy.
Yeah.
And that's the extreme example of, you know, if being cut out of...
Yeah.
You know, say you got cut out of the gym. Yeah. If we said, hey, you know what, you can't train here anymore... you're excluded from this group, it can be absolutely devastating.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously that's not something we do. But, you know, being part of that group is what helps the gym be successful.
Yeah, 100%.
Excellent.
Awesome.
Well, I think that's about it. Yeah, we went all over the place, but basically, you know, we really want to try and build trust with each other. You know, never gossip or complain. Don't be late. Be on time. Be really supportive as a person.
Yeah.
Sincerely listen to people. That's one we didn't really cover too much. Yeah. But when you're having a conversation with someone, stop thinking about your rebuttal.
Yeah.
And think and try and listen to what the other person is saying.
Yeah.
And even if that is making yourself pause after they've finished speaking, and use that time.
Yeah.
To form your rebuttal, at least then you've given yourself the opportunity to listen to the other person.
That's right.
Yeah. So really listen. Have someone, you know, when someone's talking to you, really, really listen. Interrupting is a massive withdrawal from the emotional bank account, so we want to try and avoid that because all you're saying there is what I've got to say is far more important than what you're saying right now.
Yeah.
You know, again, don't be late. Being late essentially is saying what I've got to do is more important than me being on time for you. So,
feedback. If you got feedback.
Provide positive feedback or just feedback that we can work on.
Yeah.
Honest feedback. Be honest with each other. That's a big one. And, I think we can be on the way to creating a really good environment for everyone. Yeah.
Agree.
Did you have any axes to grind, Jen?
I do, actually thinking about this one in my 15,000 steps, and I do. And it's food packets. When they say that there's 150 grams of food in it and there's not 150 grams of food in it.
Because trust them?
No, I don't. I weigh and measure everything at the moment. Like, we're what, 8 weeks out now?
I didn't even know that was a thing. I've never...
Oh, like, they lie.
I'm so trusting.
Yeah, so...
Did you take it back and say, hey, you owe me an almond?
No, I just kind of went, okay, well, I'm not eating 150 grams today, I'm eating 110.
What was not weighing that much?
Oh, I can't remember exactly what it was, but there's different foods, and when you take it out of the packet, like in the packet sometimes are huge,
yeah,
and then you weigh them out. Meat's a good example. Like sometimes you weigh meat, and they say that there's 500 grams in the packet, and you weigh it, and there's not. There's like 420 grams.
Do you reckon they count in the packet?
I reckon the butcher's having a good feed at the back. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, he's sitting there with the team.
That's first world problems.
It is.
When you're weighing and measuring stuff and you've got protein targets you have to hit. Not the actual volume of food in the packet that it says that it's in the packet.
I'm trying to think of why it would not be, other than an absolute attempt to take your money, they might weigh it.
Weigh the packet? Like,
or they might weigh the meat and then... It dehydrates a little bit before they pack it.
It looks pretty juicy.
Yeah. Yeah, they're more likely to put stuff into it, aren't they, to make it weigh more.
All right, so what's your axe to grind?
I'm not sure that I even have anything that I'm getting wound up about at the moment.
Nothing's triggered you?
No, I don't think so. Just, no. Oh, I guess... I don't know if I've even said this one before, but our street here, as you know, where I live, is pretty narrow.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So when you're driving, sometimes you've got to stop and let someone else come through. And that's fine. I'm happy to do that all day. What I really don't like is when they don't acknowledge it.
And they rush.
So it's just manners.
Yeah.
Just give me a little wave. That's all I want.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's me.
Steve's big on the wave thing. It happens a lot on this side street up here. I don't know what the name of that street is, but you know, when there's the funny little island where only one car can,
chicanes. Yeah.
So, you know, I think the person that's furthest back, I just kind of have a look and think, well, I'm the furthest back, I'll wait. Yeah. Or I'm the, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
But when you see people like speed up.
Yeah, they're like.
Yeah, and not even a wave like, I'm in a big hurry, like, thanks very much.
Yeah.
I kind of took over your axe to grind there.
No, that's good. It feels like I made the right decision.
Yeah.
Well, although I was judging someone the other day, and I'll admit this, I stopped to let them walk across. It wasn't a pedestrian crossing. It was at Grosvenor and Riding Road, so pretty busy.
Yeah,
so I just pulled up there, let a younger girl through. She gave me a wave. I was like, oh, that's very nice. I'm glad she's got good manners. And then this older guy was strutting through, like, not looking at me, and I thought, this bastard's not going to wave, you know? Like, I hate that, you know, because just give me a little, like, thanks for waiting.
Wave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And right when he was right in front of the car, biggest wave I've ever got from anyone ever walking across a pedestrian crossing. He, like, full arm above his head, like, big, massive wave. Like, he was saying farewell to me, like, on a cruise ship. It was amazing. And I'm like, wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Wow. So anyway, cool. Awesome, Jan. Well, that's it. We'll get this out to the people. And as always, guys, please rate the podcast, leave feedback about the podcast in specific on iTunes or wherever you can email us at podcast@crossfitcrossaxe.com. I had some feedback from some guys last week about the volume, so hopefully I fix that this week. And, we'll see you in the gym. Get after it.
Awesome. Thanks for having me in.
Thanks, Jen.